You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. Palo Alto Networks releases hot fixes for an exploited zero-day. Delinea issues an urgent update for a critical flaw. Giant Tiger data is leaked online. A European semiconductor manufacturer deals with a data breach. Roku suffers its second breach of the year. Operators of the Hive Rat face charges. A former Amazon security engineer gets 3 years in prison for hacking cryptocurrency exchanges. Zambian officials arrest 77 in a scam call center crackdown. Our guest, Deputy Assistant Director Cynthia Kaiser from the FBI Cyber Division, describes dual ransomware. And Rob Boyce, Managing Director at Accenture, shares his thoughts on security testing of generative AI. And selling Pokemon cheats leaves one man in Japan feeling like he had a run-in with a Scaldaburn. It's Monday, April 15th, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Thank you for joining us. It is great to have you with us here today. Palo Alto Networks is addressing a zero-day vulnerability exploited by suspected state-sponsored hackers, impacting its PAN-OS firewall appliances. The vulnerabilities, allowing remote code execution with root privileges, affects devices with global protect and telemetry features enabled. Following initial mitigations, Palo Alto began releasing hotfixes on Sunday, with 40,000 appliances potentially at risk. Veloxity linked the exploitation to threat actor UTA-0218, noting data exfiltration and internal network movement, including attempts to deploy a Python backdoor named Upstyle. There's speculation on the involvement of Bian Lian, a ransomware group, and Lazarus, a North Korean-sponsored entity, in these attacks, following observations by VolDB. While the two groups operate differently, there have been instances where Lazarus disguised its operations as Bian Lian's ransomware attacks for intelligence collection. Discussions around a proof-of-concept exploit surfaced on social media, though the cybersecurity community has debunked these as fake. Delinea, known for its secret server privileged access management solution, has issued an urgent update for on-prem installations to address a critical flaw that could let attackers bypass authentication, gain admin rights, and steal sensitive information. This vulnerability, found in the secret server SOAP API, prompted Delinea to initially block SOAP endpoints for cloud customers and subsequently release a patch. Despite the severity, Delinea reports no evidence of data compromise or exploitation attempts. They've also provided guidance for on-prem users to detect potential exploitation. The vulnerability and a proof-of-concept exploit were publicly disclosed by security researcher Kevin Beaumont following a discovery and disclosure attempt by Johnny Yu. Back in March, Giant Tiger, a Canadian retail chain, experienced a data breach exposing 2.8 million customer records, including names, email addresses, phone numbers, and physical addresses. A threat actor has now claimed responsibility for this breach, leaking the data on a hacker forum. Have I Been Pwned has since added the leaked database to its platform, allowing individuals to check if their information was compromised. The breach was linked to a third-party vendor used by Giant Tiger for customer communication and engagement. No payment details or passwords were disclosed. Giant Tiger has informed affected customers, advising caution against potential phishing attempts. Users are encouraged to consider identity monitoring services to protect against identity theft. Nexperia, a prominent semiconductor manufacturer headquartered in the Netherlands, experienced a cybersecurity incident in March where unauthorized access to its IT servers was detected. The company immediately isolated the compromised systems and engaged third-party cybersecurity specialists, including Fox IT, to assess and mitigate the breach. Nexperia has informed relevant authorities and continues to investigate the incident's full scope and impact. Online streaming service provider Roku has experienced its second cybersecurity incident of this year, with 576,000 user accounts affected due to credential stuffing attacks, leveraging reused passwords. This follows a previous breach impacting over 15,000 accounts. Roku states that in fewer than 400 instances, attackers made unauthorized purchases, though sensitive payment information remained secure. Roku has reset passwords for the compromised accounts, refunded unauthorized transactions, and is advising customers to use unique passwords and watch for suspicious communications. To enhance security, Roku has enabled two-factor authentication across all 80 million user accounts. Authorities in Australia and the U.S. have arrested two individuals linked to the Hive remote access Trojan, previously known as Firebird. The malware was advertised as a tool for covertly accessing and extracting sensitive data from targeted systems. In Australia, one of the accused faces 12 computer offense charges, with a court appearance set for May 7th. Meanwhile, in the U.S., Edmund Chakmachian, 24, from Van Nuys, was indicted for selling HiveRat on hacker forums, assisting customers and knowingly facilitating illegal activities, including cryptocurrency theft. Chakmachian, who pleaded not guilty, is due for trial on June 4th. The RAT enables unauthorized system access, application manipulation, data theft, keystroke logging, and eavesdropping on communications. Shakib Ahmed, a former Amazon security engineer, has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for hacking two cryptocurrency exchanges in July 2022, resulting in over $12 million in theft. Post-imprisonment, Ahmed faces 3 years of supervised release and is ordered to forfeit $12.3 million and pay restitution. Utilizing his expertise in smart contract reverse engineering and blockchain audit, Ahmed targeted Nervana Finance and an unnamed Solana blockchain exchange. His guilty plea to computer fraud could have led to a maximum of 5 years in jail. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams emphasized the commitment to prosecuting hackers regardless of the hack's sophistication. Ahmed's tactics involved manipulating smart contracts to steal and launder the funds, including using cryptocurrency mixers to convert the assets into Monero for anonymity, while also researching ways to avoid detection and extradition. Zambian law enforcement arrested 77 individuals at Golden Top Support Services, a call center alleged to scam global internet users. The Chinese-run company, located in Lusaka, is accused of hiring Zambian youths under the guise of legitimate call center work, only to involve them in fraudulent schemes over WhatsApp, Telegram, and other chat platforms. The scams targeted victims worldwide, including in Singapore, Peru, the UAE, and across Africa. The operation, which the Drug Enforcement Commission hailed as a major cybercrime crackdown, resulted in the seizure of vehicles, firearms, computers, and thousands of SIM cards. While 17 Zambian suspects were released, the rest, including 22 Chinese nationals and one Cameroonian, remained detained for further investigation. Coming up after the break, Deputy Assistant Director Cynthia Kaiser from the FBI Cyber Division describes dual ransomware. And Rob Boyce, Managing Director at Accenture, shares his thoughts on security testing of generative AI. Stay with us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. And it is my pleasure to welcome back to the show Deputy Assistant Director for the FBI's Cyber Division, Cynthia Kaiser. Cynthia, welcome back.
Happy to be back. Thank you.
I want to touch base on some information that you all released recently, and this was touching on this notion of dual ransomware and some of the actors that you've been tracking that have been using this particular technique. Can you describe to us what's going on here?
This is a new trend that we've seen over the last year where either through an initial access broker, so that's a person that's already obtained compromised credentials to a system, those initial access brokers are selling companies' information, how to get into a company's network in, you know, dark marketplaces, and more than one person's buying them, and then more than one affiliate is deploying ransomware onto a system. Or we've also seen an affiliate is somebody who deploys ransomware, not necessarily the developer, but pays a fee to the developers to deploy that ransomware. We see some of those affiliates also use two different variants to target the same company. And this is really worrisome. We've seen it across a spate of different ransomware sets. You see Lockbit, Zeppelin, a lot of other different sets, ransomware variants being able to be deployed against victim. And can you imagine if you're not the victim of one ransomware attack, but within 48 hours, you're the victim of two, or within 10 days, the victim of more? It's really frightening to think about how that must feel as a network owner. And it just hits home why it's so important to do the basics to make sure that you have the appropriate cyber hygiene across your system, that you're doing your endpoint detections, that you're putting the right security in place so that your employees and your credentials can't be compromised in the first place and sold to the highest bidder, and that you're also not allowing a affiliate or some other ransomware actor to come onto your system, because in the end, they're seeking just to exploit any weakness. And it's where we're working as the FBI then to make sure that we can get all the information out that we can about how these actors are doing it, what the indicators of compromise might be, how you can protect your systems, because we want to help protect American networks from these just nefarious actors who continue to find ways to harm us.
Cynthia Kaiser is Deputy Assistant Director with the FBI's Cyber Division. Cynthia, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And joining me again is Robert Boyce. He is the global lead for cyber resilience at Accenture. Rob, it's great to have you back. I want to touch today on generative AI and specifically this idea of red teaming and how that can apply to generative AI. What can you share with us today?
Yeah, well, Dave, first of all, thank you for having me back. So it's a pleasure. Yeah, I think the first of all, the term red teaming as it applies to AI or generative AI, I think is almost the first stumbling block out of the gate in some cases. So we're talking to a lot of organizations. And as you know, in the security community, red teaming has a very specific connotation. Red teaming to us typically means a point in time test. You get some results. You may make some changes based on those results. And maybe best case scenario, you test again to see if you get the results that you had hoped for. I think that is not really how we need to think about offensive testing when we think about generative AI, because generative AI is being so dynamic and changing all the time, building models that are in literally learning. These point in time tests are not going to be sufficient. So I think, you know, the first thing we have to think about as a community is how to maybe just change the name from red teaming to just say security testing, offensive testing, because it's going to be a lot more encompassing than just point in time tests.
So is it continuous testing?
Great question. So I think that's a big part of it. I think, you know, there's definitely a place for the point in time test, but the continuous testing is really going to be what's much more important. As you can see these models evolving, there's going to be a point in time where we need to be testing as they're learning to make sure that the outcomes and the outputs that we're getting are going to be what's expected. And that can't be done with point in time testing. That really has to be done with continual testing. So that's going to be super, super critical. I think the other point that we really need to think through too is what we're going to test, right? I think that's going to be another big part.
How do we approach this? I mean, we use this metaphor of these models being black boxes, and I'm thinking of, you know, standing inside of a black box and not having any idea where the edges are. How do I know which direction to go in?
Yeah, another great question, Dave. So we think about this in terms of their personas, user personas as it applies to Gen AI. And there will be organizations that will be what we call creators, creating the models from top to bottom, right? So infrastructure, application, LLM, the models running on top of the LLMs, you know, all of that, that's, you know, there will be companies that do all of that. And for them, the testing is super important that they're doing testing at all layers. And the good news is, as a security community, we probably already know how to test about 80% of that because we've been testing applications and infrastructure and data layers for a long time. It's that new layer around the LLMs and the models are going to be putting on top of that, there's going to be what's really different for us. And even the skill set that's going to be required to be able to test those is going to be a little unique. It's not going to be just the traditional pen testers. We're going to have to think about how to build these pods of skills that it could include data scientists and others who are helping build the models and who understand the models better than just, you know, a security pen tester would. So I think that's going to be, you know, super interesting. Conversely, though, there will be organizations that we call more consumers that will be just buying, you know, the black box models that you talked about. And how do they do the testing? Because they can't test the same way the creators can test. They can't test top to bottom. So they're going to rely on, you know, the company that's selling this to them to do that testing. What they can test is, you know, are the outputs that they're getting the expected output. So they'll be doing testing more at that, you know, the LLM layer. And I think that's going to be super important for them to understand the distinction of what they should be testing as well as what, how, as well as the how to test. So I think that's going to be also incredibly important for them. And where they can't test, how do they build maybe into their procurement process or their third-party risk process, mitigating controls on, you know, how do they put more of the responsibility on the creators of those so that they feel like they're getting some level of assurance that there has been some testing done on those, on that infrastructure, the application, the data, et cetera, prior to them putting it into production.
I think about different kinds of testing, and part of what you're talking about makes me think about like the kind of testing my teenagers do with my wife and I, where, you know, they're kind of nibbling at the edges of like, what can I get away with? And how that can apply to generative AI, maybe from the other direction of like, you know, what do I, as a user of this technology, what do I push on? How do I test the boundaries to see where the edges are?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I think there's these concepts of, you know, can we test, how do we poison the LLM so that we can produce false results or unexpected results? And, you know, really the testing that we know of today is holding the integrity of the models so that they're producing the results we want them to produce. But I think what we're going to find quickly as we're starting to explore this area more as a security community, that's just one vector. There's going to be many, many more. And I think that's the other thing that organizations really need to think about or understand maybe more, is that this is going to change at such a rapid pace that we really need to be flexible and dynamic in our approach to be testing these, right? And the changing the way we test them on a frequent basis. We know this is coming. The executive order says red teaming, what, the 15 times or something in there for the US. And then we're seeing, you know, Canada having regulations. We're seeing the UK, we're seeing Australia, we're going to see many other European countries have these types of requirements being put on creators of AI. And so I think, you know, now that the focus is being put here on the security testing, we're going to start to see the evolution of these tests. And we're going to learn, we're just going to learn a lot, I think, in the next 6-12 months of the types of testing that really need to be done. Because honestly, I don't think we fully appreciate yet the complexities are going to have to be, that are going to be required for these tests. Hmm.
All right. Well, Robert Boyce is Global Lead for Cyber Resilience at Accenture. Rob, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dave. So it was a pleasure.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit criticalstart.com and request a demo today. That's criticalstart.com. And finally, in Japan, a 36-year-old man was arrested for selling modified Pokemon save data, a violation of the country's 2019 Unfair Competition Prevention Act. Detected by a police cyber patrol, he modified Pokemon Violet save data to alter Pokemon movesets and took customer orders for rare Pokemon online, charging up to 13,000 yen, about $84, per transaction from December 2022 to March 2023. He confessed to the crimes, claiming it was a means to earn a living. He faces up to 5 years in prison and or a fine of up to 5 million yen, about $32,000. This incident adds to a string of crimes involving the lucrative Pokemon franchise, including a January 2022 incident that saw two Los Angeles police officers fired after they ignored a call to respond to a burglary in order to chase down a Snorlax in Pokemon Go. This Pokemon trainer's next quest? Finding the legendary get-out-of-jail-free card. Maybe they can make clever use of the elusive Bailbondasaur. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.